T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
J.J. Watt grew up in Wisconsin. We know that. So he's in the NFC North territory growing up. And Detroit, also in the NFC North.
Oh.
J.J. was a Packers fan. He was asked yesterday, did you have a hatred for the Detroit Lions growing up?
When I grew up in Wisconsin, it was, you're a Packer fan, obviously. I don't think there was, it wasn't really hate. It was more just you wanted to obviously win every year. I think the Packers-Bears was more of the big one, but it was that NFC North, you know, with the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers, obviously. It was just, that was all I knew. Actually, early in my career, there was a lot of Buccaneers like Mike Allstott and stuff too. So there was a lot of good football being played and a lot of great opportunities for me to watch. But I used to play hockey growing up and travel hockey, and so I'd have to travel to Michigan or Canada or Minnesota on weekends, and so a lot of times I'd be listening to games in the car on the way back, Wayne Larrivee on 620 back in Wisconsin, and we'd be listening in the car and you'd hear them call the games, and you hear a lot of Packer games against the Lions. So I remember a lot of those old games.
If J.J. Watt had stuck with hockey, what would that look like? Holy smokes.
I don't know, but Boy, he talked a whole lot about the NFC North there and the Packers and the Bears without saying much at all about the Lions. You could cobble together some pretty good bulletin board material right there if anybody in Detroit actually cared.
He brought up the Buccaneers.
He did, didn't he? It's like those old rivalries. So what'd you think about the Lions growing up? Do you remember when Sapp would come and play Favre? That
right.
was crazy, wasn't it?
Right.
I mean, let's see. What year did JJ graduate high school?
Well, he graduated. He was in the 2011 draft for college. Probably
yeah.
2006, something like 2006. That.
2006. I mean, like, I'll work backwards from 2007. 7-9, 3-13. 5-11. I don't know.
This is the Lions. You're
the Lions. Yeah. I don't know if the Lions had a winning season. Yeah. You'd have to go back to, I guess, 1997 when they were 9-7. So JJ. Oh no. 2000. They were 9-7. Also. Mm-hmm. So really, the entire decade of the 2000s, other than the only winning season they had in the entire first decade of this century was in the year 2000.
Yeah.
Every year after that, when J.J. would have been high school, what he wanted to say when they asked him about what was it like growing up and watching the Lions was, I didn't think about the Lions at all.
Right.
I didn't think about them
once.
Why
would he? Yeah.
These guys, the Silver Dome, oh, come on.
Yeah, why would he? Okay, so J.J. has a hard time working up hatred for the Lions. I think a lot of people do because they feel sorry for the Lions. They've just been a punching bag for so long. So it's appropriate that on the day before the game on Thanksgiving Day, we come up with 5 reasons I hate you. The 5 reasons I hate you, we usually do it on Fridays before games. We're doing it today. It's the Lions edition of 5 reasons I hate you for the Detroit Lions. Seth, here we go. The first reason, and this is no disrespect to the fine people of the state of Michigan, but your state is miserable. It's terrible. And I'm not even making a statement about the governor who Matt Stafford's wife called a dictator because she was shutting everything down again. It's not a political statement. I'm talking about the awful weather, talking about the wonky economy, the crappy personalities of the head coaches of recent years, both college and pro, and I'll get to Patricia in a second, but Jim Harbaugh is a loon. Mark D'Antonio, he's not at Michigan State anymore, but that guy never smiled. Come on, smile, dude. You make $8 million a year coaching football. Stop acting so hard. I'm Mark D'Antonio. Your state's depressing. Michigan is depressing. That's the first reason.
Okay,
I hate
Connor
you,
Cook. I would have thrown Connor Cook into that mix just for the hell of it.
Connor Cook, too. Yeah, Connor Cook, who I don't know if you guys heard this, but he was not the captain of his team at Michigan State. You guys remember that. So that's number one, just a general commentary. Have you spent any time in the state of Michigan, Seth?
I have. coincidentally enough, they legalized recreational marijuana not too long ago. And well, I think that's the one thing. I think it was for them. You know, a lot of these other states, when they legalize marijuana, they'll point to various things where, hey, it might actually help out with chemical dependency. You can resort more, devote more resources to this or that. With the Lions, the actual, with the city of Michigan, the state of Michigan, the actual campaign was, please don't go. What do you want from us? Okay, fine. Here, we legalized it. They're desperately trying to keep people from fleeing the city, so fleeing the state, so they're doing anything they can.
Yeah, that's how bad
probably,
it is there. People,
they're going to legalize heroin and cocaine.
They're leaving in droves. They're going to legalize everything. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I'm going to mention it here because here's the thing. I like Matt Stafford. I know he's never won a playoff game. I know that he's probably a little overrated. But there's just something about Matt Stafford that I like. There's a vibe about him that I like. And I feel like if he got put on a good team with good surroundings, it was a lot more functional than the Lions, he might have actually accomplished some things in his career. He's made a ton of money. He might be the most highly paid football player in the history of the universe as of right now. Here's why I hate the Lions. They've taken very likable Matthew Stafford, and they have given him 9 different leading rushers in 11 full seasons so far. You talk about a lack of support for Deshaun Watson in the run game. At least they had Carlos Hyde last year. At least they had Lamar Miller make a Pro Bowl. Here are the leading rushers for Matt Stafford since he got there in 2009. You ready for this murderer's row, Seth? Here we go. Kevin Smith, Javid Best. Ooh. Javid Best again.
Two-time.
Yeah, back-to-back. Yeah, 555 yards and 390 yards. Mikel LeShour, Reggie Bush in 2013. The only one of these clowns to go over 1,000 yards was Reggie Bush.
It still had fewer yards than Carlos Hyde had last year.
Right, 2006. Yeah. 2014, is it Joik Bell? Jock Bell?
Oh, I used to know this. Joikwe? Like Wake or something.
Wake? Yeah, Hoike? Yeah. Hookie? Whatever. He had 860 yards. And then Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah again, Kerryon Johnson, back-to-back years.
Only one of those went for over 1,000 yards. Half of them had 500 yards or less.
Yeah.
It's been a really, really, really bad supporting cast for Matt Stafford. Other than the year that they had Reggie Bush, but even when they had Reggie Bush, it was always these sporadic, herky jerky, really honestly, like a whole lot of Bill O'Brien type of play calling where you feel like there is no rhyme or reason to this offense.
Yep.
Nobody gets into a rhythm. Like, what the hell are they even doing? What's their identity?
The next one, 5 Reasons I Hate You. I'll go quick on this one. They stole Matt Millen from TV back when Millen was still good at TV. And they made him the VP of their team. And then when he got done with that job, he came back to TV and he wasn't good anymore. Matt Millen used to be really, really good. He was like the next John Madden.
Yeah, I never liked him much as a commentator.
I did. I wonder
if you went back and watched, given now kind of the way everything has changed and where guys aren't just throwing out cliches like, you just got to want it more.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
All that. I don't know if you'd like him stacked up to the modern guys.
Maybe not, but I liked him back then, and I was sad when they hired him away from TV because I liked, at least back then, I liked him on TV. Number two. We've gone through 5, 4, 3, now we're down to 2. They had 2 of the greatest players to ever play their positions in the game, and both of them just said, bleep this, and walked away way too early because they got lion fatigue. Barry Sanders and Megatron, Calvin Johnson, both walked away when they were like 30 years old because they just got tired of playing for the Lions. The Lions sucked the love of football out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I wanted to see more Barry Sanders.
And it was all and just taken away. Now, I think more Barry Sanders than Megatron.
Yeah.
I think because Megatron was, he was always a little bit in competition with Andre Johnson, and I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Barry Sanders, it was just, Barry Sanders was unlike any other running back who's ever played the game. I'm not saying he's the greatest that ever played. He's just unlike any other back.
Best highlight film.
The city of Detroit robbed us from it. The way they almost got, Detroit almost got Michael Keaton too. Because of Gung Ho, that movie. It's an awful movie. It could have derailed his career right there.
You sure you're not thinking of Mr. Mom?
I think both of them were in Detroit.
Were they both in Detroit?
Well, Gung Ho was about the auto industry.
So was Mr. Mom. Mr. Mom, remember, he got laid off from the auto industry, so he had to be a stay-at-home mom.
Was he in Gung Ho, though, too?
He wasn't Gung Ho, but I think you might be conflating them. Yeah.
Who would you take better representative of the city of Detroit, Tim Allen or Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
Well, for the sake of this, segment.
Oh,
well, I'd say Tim Allen.
Yeah, Tim Allen. Yeah. I like Michael Keaton better. I didn't like Tim Allen as much. Last one. This is an easy one. Reasons to hate the Lions. Reasons I hate you, the Lions edition. Matt Patricia is a slob and a hypocrite. Remember when Matt Patricia, their head coach, gave this little talking to a media member about his posture?
Well, you know, do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
Yeah. The great thing about Patricia there is the guy who's renowned for having no people skills other than trying to emulate bad body posture, bad dressing, slovenly Bill Belichick as much as possible. I feel like he was trying to flex some there or something with a conversation that easily could have been had off camera. And nobody's buying it from Matt. Nobody's looking at Matt Patricia and saying, well, that's a look of professionalism right there.
Yeah. He almost ran over Landry Locker at training camp 2 years ago in his ATV. Remember that?
He was wearing that stupid Aircast, driving that stupid ATV all over the NRG Stadium practice fields. Recklessly, almost just bearing down upon innocent Landry's. And, there's no room in this universe for Matt Patricia. I wish he'd gone back. I wish he'd go back and get prosecuted in Mexico if he's got the guts.
Go ahead.
Face the man.
Google it.
I
got to be honest. It was hard to find five reasons to hate the Lions because I feel so sorry for them. But it's almost like Matt Patricia himself counts as five reasons to hate the Lions.
Yeah. It was Gung Ho, by the way, was a Western Pennsylvania auto plant.
Okay.
That's why I got confused. So, yeah, Mr. Mom was in Detroit where he got laid off from the auto industry. But then Michael Keaton was this fictitious, apparently, auto plant in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, because I always equate Western Pennsylvania with the auto industry.
Hey, Pittsburgh, let's do something about an industry that's crumbling and facing hard times. Should we do coal? No. Auto industry.
I got it. Let's do auto industry. All right. Up next, this is good. A former Texan reveals on the disturbingly fast podcast.
That's my wife's code name for me. I heard her talking to her mom the other day. She was like, love life. That's more like the disturbingly fast love life.
A former Texan reveals on Seth's podcast one of the most disturbing anatomical maladies caused by football that I've ever heard. You will not want to miss this. Next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. John Lopez is going to jump in with us during the toss to give his thoughts on Seth becoming an honorary Aggie. So we'll get to that in the next segment. So, Seth, the Deceptively Fast podcast, you had your former teammate Drew Hodgson on recently, did you not?
I did. It was the night before I was going in for my surgery, and I thought, I really don't feel like doing a week 11 recap or some serious topic, so I'm gonna have Drew on because Drew is a fiery guy, and I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the fights and confrontations that we saw last week. But before we even got to that, we were chatting about my hernia a little bit, and he divulged something that I can't believe I've never heard of. I've been playing football since I was like 5 years old. I've been in the NFL since 1997. And I never heard of this thing of which he speaks.
Have you never heard from any of like your teammates or like center buddies, like what happens when you play center?
Do you get hernias a lot?
You don't get hernias, but you get elevated testicle syndrome.
Shut up.
I'm being completely serious.
What happens?
It started happening my sophomore year of college, and I would like get into practice, and then it became like, right before the snap, every time my balls would like shoot up into my stomach, and I would stop, and I was like,
"Shut up!
What the f- is going on?" And I went over to the team doctor, and I was like, "Dude, I'm having like something weird is happening." And they were like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Dude, my balls are like all up in there." And now it's like they're mostly kind of in there, like all the time.
All the time?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Like they're not like hanging down like normal. And I like went to I went to Muntz and was like, dude, is this like a thing? And he's like, dude, it is very common.
Okay. Muntz, you know, the great thing about Muntz, Dr. Muntz is still around, and he's the guy you see next to the Rockets bench at times. Muntz probably made fun of him for it, too. Like, yeah, he probably came up with some good Muntz is hilarious.
No, Dr. Muntz. Dr. Muntz helped me with something, not what Drew had, but about 10 years ago.
I can't get to my phone, Sean, because I'm laying down in bed with my undescended testicles. Everybody that's tuning in, I just had surgery, so I'm doing the show from bed today.
Right.
I looked up elevated testicle syndrome, and I couldn't find anything, but there are a whole lot of – there's like retractile syndrome, all of this. It sounds honestly like I'd be more concerned about my child getting this than getting CTE long term. I don't want my child to have to live with this because he's snapping a football.
Okay, so what exactly is he describing, Seth? What his –
It sounds like his testicles would recoil to protect themselves right before you'd snap the ball. You know, when your boys suck up for safety.
Yeah.
That there's because we got talking about this. I never knew before this hernia ordeal that it's like the simplest thing that I probably should know, and I think maybe everybody knows, and I don't. You have tiny little muscles that are responsible for pulling and descending your boys down there. These tiny little muscles contract and pull your boys to safety up within your body. But apparently, sometimes with centers, it gets too adept at doing that. It's constantly in a state of thinking there's a pigskin hurtling towards them. So they're permanently retracted.
Boy, I feel like we have plenty of people we could reach out to about this, right? Steve McKinney played center. Yep. Chris Myers, obviously, we could reach out to. I think Wade Smith even played a little bit of center along the way.
Yeah, I thought you'd I've never heard another center, and I played center in high school, and my danglers dangle just fine. I wonder if maybe this is less common than Drew has led himself to believe.
Yeah, or maybe Dr. Muntz was just making him feel better that a lot of people had. Like, yeah, it's okay. A lot of people get this. And then Dr. Muntz like walked over to somebody else like, oh, you see this Hodgdon thing.
You know what? Yeah, those are like the lies that they tell you when you're young and you don't realize until you're older. I've got all kinds of family secrets that my mom would tell me little white lies about this uncle or that grandpa.
Right.
And you just accept them as fact until you get to be like 35 and you're like, oh, wait a second. You mean grandma and grandpa didn't live in separate houses because of her medical condition? They actually hated each other? Like, right. Yeah, you should know that.
Right. I don't feel that bad for Drew, Seth, because as you think about it, like, would I want mine to do that? No, but, you know, there's a fetish for everything. There's probably some group of chicks out there that actually find it to be kind of kinky or cool that his boys do that. You know what I mean?
That's true. You could get a OnlyFans account or something.
Right. And Drew's elevated testicles on OnlyFans.
Is it OnlyFans or fans only?
I'm not sure. I always get that mixed up too.
I bet one of those websites has a whole lot of confusing customers and offended employees. Like old Mabel's been working the switchboard for years selling fans. Then all of a sudden, right, this other website comes on. Right. Mabel at Fans Only.
You should hear what this young man said to me.
She's an expert on the tri-speed, and all of a sudden, you got customers calling up asking about a different kind of tri-speed.
Yeah, I always get those mixed up. Fans Only and Only. Sorry, I had to compose myself. Yeah.
I like the idea that Mabel's been working at a website for decades.
I do too. Okay,
it used to be a catalog company.
I like that Mabel's your go-to name for an old person who's out of date.
When I was getting my blood testing done last week before my surgery,
Mabel.
I was in line behind a Mabel.
Really?
I wanted to ask her so many questions, but most of them revolved around like names of other people who had died already, with names like Ethel and Gertrude and whatnot. I'm fascinated by how many living Mabels are there right now.
Yeah.
Like really, there's probably I'm guessing nobody's been named Mabel unless they're like hipster or ironically. In like a good 50, 60 years at least.
Yeah, probably. Text message. Damn, Sean, you had a chance to ask Wade about his balls and you didn't. What a letdown. Now, I texted Wade about his balls just now to see if he's suffering from anything similar. I'm going to text Chris Myers too.
That was a fun
All these former Texans will be thrilled. I'm texting them about their testicles.
Yeah. That was a fun version of the podcast I did, which is more. I think I'm going to do more stuff like that where I'm just messing around.
Yeah, it's more.
It's damn seriousness of life and football and COVID has got me. It's got me down, Sean. I need to have a little bit more frivolity in my life.
Where can people get the Deceptively Fast podcast, Seth?
I don't know. Anywhere you get podcasts, I suppose.
It's me allowing you to promote your podcast here.
Radio.com, iTunes, Spotify, whatevs. They're all over the place.
There you go.
I'm thinking about changing it to the Seth Payne podcast, but for now, Deceptively Fast.
Branding purposes. All right. Up next, Deshaun Watson just got some hardware. Just found out about that. Also, hot Thanksgiving meal takes as we take you up to In the Loop. That's next.
Nah, yeah, it was like I said, I've been watching that since I was a little kid, so especially Detroit. And, you know, I think they were that organization that really started it. So for us to be able to, for me individually, but us as a team and organization to play on that day and, you know, have the opportunity is really cool. It's, you know, a neat deal. So I'm definitely going to have fun with it and go out there and try to get a W.
Deshaun Watson talking about playing on Thanksgiving, and Deshaun Watson will go into this game against Detroit. Seth is the reigning defending AFC Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week, for his performance against the New England Patriots last week. It was just announced this morning. Deshaun Watson is the Player of the Week offensively in the AFC for Week 11. Congratulations to him.
It was just an astoundingly efficient game, in first half especially. And really, I think even people who have still been reaching out to us, Sean, and asking, I don't know, there's some people that, for whatever reason, are convinced that Deshaun is having a bad year. It's strange because I share the concern that the offense hasn't gotten going. Like, I'm old school in that respect, that I would like, I really feel like the offensive production is the reflection of the quarterback. And for the most part, if the offense is doing well, the quarterback's not doing well. This year, it's so glaringly obvious how much of an issue the rushing offense is, and how bad the defense is, that I'm kind of breaking my own rules, because with each successive week, Deshaun shows another element to his game, or more consistency, or a higher functioning, like mental side of things, that he's developing into a genuine and complete quarterback. Which is what, you know, Bill Belichick, when they asked him before the game, hey, does facing Lamar Jackson help prepare you for Deshaun Watson? Belichick said, to paraphrase, no, because Deshaun is a complete quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't think trying to throw shade at Lamar Jackson, but just saying it like it is, Lamar Jackson's legs are his biggest threat, and he is not developed, and he's not even scary as a passer right now. A year ago, if you had asked a lot of people, who's your quarterback that you want for the next 10 years for your franchise, I think there are a lot of people that were veering more towards Lamar Jackson. That pendulum has swung completely, because a lot of the people around the league that really pay attention and grade these things are standing up and saying, look, no matter what their record is, Deshaun Watson is playing quarterback at an elite level this year.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown an interception in his last five games. And the last time he went that long without doing it was at the end of the 2018 season. If you remember that 2018 season where he was just getting blistered, he was getting lit up. He had to take a bus to Jacksonville. He threw all those picks early in the season, and then he went the pretty much the whole second half of the season without turning the ball over. He's been really good this year. There's no doubt about it. I'm glad he got recognized for his performance against the Patriots. Here's something interesting. They list in the press release, Seth, they list every player who's ever won a Player of the Week in the history of the Texans. And someday the Texans will be around long enough to where it won't make sense to do this anymore. They've only been around since 2002, so you can send out emails that list everybody. And it's a healthy list of players. Deshaun's won it five times. He last won it in Week 13 last year against the New England Patriots. So the last two times that Deshaun Watson has played against a Bill Belichick coach defense, he's been the Offensive Player of the Week in the AFC.
Yeah, well, and I think part of that, right, is the fact that you get extra credit for doing it against Belichick.
That's a great point.
Even though this defense for New England is not nearly what it was last year, you get extra credit for beating Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I think especially this is what's happened 2 years in a row. Last year, the Patriots came in, and Deshaun had struggled at times versus the blitz last year, as had the offensive line, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Belichick said, all right, we're going to blitz the hell out of Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun torched them. He threw three touchdowns against blitzes and was very, very efficient. He had like a 70% completion rate versus blitzes last year. This year, it was the exact opposite. They said, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play coverage. We're going to drop eight guys back, nine guys back. We're going to make Deshaun confused. We'll make him make bad decisions. And that, in a lot of respects, is an even tougher test. This is what teams used to do to Tom Brady to try to confuse him before he learned how to beat it. And Brady was in his seventh, eighth, ninth year in the league before he figured out how to beat a lot of these really exotic flood-the-zone defenses. Deshaun picked them apart. And I know it's not the same defense as in previous years, but the degree to which he picked them apart was really some higher-level quarterbacking. And that was what was so exciting. That, it doesn't mean that versus really good defenses, you're going to throw for as many touchdowns or have the same production. But it's something that a lot of quarterbacks in the league couldn't do. And then he mixed in what he had to do with his legs for it, too.
It is pretty remarkable. He's won five, and he's about halfway through his fourth season in the league. He's done this five times. The most in franchise history player of the week honors, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, is J.J. Watt. He's won 1, 2, 3, 4. He's won seven of them in his career. Andre Johnson only did it twice. Arian Foster did it a few times. Matt Schaub actually did it four times in his career, player of the week. Deshaun's done it five times already, and he's not even through his fourth season yet. Is pretty remarkable. So congratulations to him for winning the Player of the Week Award, Offensive Player of the Week Award in the AFC. Texans tomorrow against the Detroit Lions. And who knows, maybe back-to-back weeks. We shall see. J.J. Watt was asked J.J. Watt was asked about playing on Thanksgiving. Is what we heard Deshaun talking about playing on Thanksgiving. Here's J.J. Watt on playing on Thanksgiving.
We'd always go up to our aunt and uncle's house up in Appleton, Wisconsin. So we'd drive up there in the morning, and everybody would fix themselves a plate, you know, around noon or so. All the food would be out, and then, like I said, we'd sit down, we'd watch the game, watch the Lions game, whoever they were playing. And then about halftime of the game, you know, you fall asleep, and then you wake up, like, I don't know, depends on how long you slept, middle of the fourth quarter, catch you into the game, make yourself another plate. And then after that game ended, we'd go out in the front yard and we'd play a turkey bowl, all the cousins and uncles and aunts. We'd play a turkey bowl. It snowed some years, so you'd play in the snow, but Uncle Bill would never wear anything but short sleeves. He'd be freezing his ass off out there. And it was always a legitimate game. It was fun competition, good competition. Then you finish that up, come in, fix yourself another plate, sit down and start watching the Cowboys game and probably fall asleep again. And then wake up and make yourself another plate. And then a couple of years ago, you start obviously watching the night game. And then this year, it's my brother's. So I'm hoping our plane makes it back in time so I can catch the second half of that.
Yeah, we're hoping
J.J. Watt for diabetes awareness.
We're hoping the game takes place with the Steelers and the Ravens. Ravens are having some issues right now.
Yeah, the Ravens. I'd like to blame the Titans because they, you know, rubbed up against those filthy, dirty Titans. But probably not. It's probably not the Titans' fault. Unfortunately, I can't blame them for that.
J.J.'s Thanksgiving sounds like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's just, we go in eat the turkey, and we go out and play the turkey bowl, and we fall asleep watching football. It sounds like the All-American Thanksgiving right there.
I envision it, though, but a little bit different. Almost like a blend of a Norman Rockwell painting with that Peyton Manning United Way fake commercial on SNL.
Yes.
When he was beaning kids in the back of the head. I could see J.J. being the all-time quarterback and, like, running zone read every time and just bulling over grandma with a nasty Deshaun Watson shoulder leveling.
So J.J., okay, Seth, so it's a Thanksgiving tradition like no other. When you're doing radio the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you got to chime in with your hot takes on what the good ingredients of a Thanksgiving meal are and what the bad ingredients of a Thanksgiving meal are. Here is J.J. Watt on a take that I wholeheartedly agree with.
I'm not a cranberry sauce guy, so I'm not – that doesn't really make it onto my plate. I'm sure there's some people that are, but that doesn't make it on my plate. But just about everything else does. I mean, it is a balancing act to get the plate back to the couch without spilling anything or gravy sliding off. And it is a multiple plate situation for sure. There is never just one stop.
Of course not. Seth, you could tell he was not trying. He was doing his best to to try not to offend cranberry sauce in that take right there. He was being he was really slow playing it and being soft on cranberry sauce there.
Yeah, I felt like he could have gone all in on it if he hadn't been holding back. You know, that's going to be the thing that he does. That'll be his Gerrit Cole moment on the way out of town. He'll say, and one last thing, as I represent myself as an agent of myself, cranberry sauce sucks, okay? You know it. I know it. We all know it. I never once touched the cranberry sauce in my entire life until about 5 years ago.
And
now I love it. The problem is, well, it's confusing. They call it a sauce. It's this whole problem. They got a PR issue. The Cranberry Council needs to get their act together and understand that when you call something something that it is not, people have like an instinctive evolutionary aversion to it. Because you're thinking like, it's like you're out in nature and somebody tells you, you know, don't eat those red berries. You get freaked out about the red berries. Yeah. Because so now here's a red berry-like substance and you're telling you, oh, trust me, it's a sauce. Even though it's obviously a jello of some sort.
Yeah, it's cylindrical tube of jelly.
Yeah, it's actually quite tasty, kids. If you haven't tried it, try it. Trust me. Uncle Seth, like his uncle, like JJ's uncle,
Uncle Bill,
Bob?
I think it was, or Uncle Bob,
Mike,
yeah, something.
The crazy one,
yeah, the one that goes sleeveless at the Turkey Bowl every year. Try hard.
Tells you you're a wimp. He's like, I wonder if that was the cool uncle that had stories that, again, you realize when you're 45 years old. Oh, wait a second, all those stories he told me were total lies.
Yeah.
No, he never went hunting for grizzlies in the Klondike. That lion SOB.
I feel like if it's the one who actually went short sleeves at the Turkey Bowl, that he's probably a pretty honest person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's probably pretty hardcore. All right, let me ask you this. As long as we're on hot takes about Thanksgiving food, is this take by Tim Kelly on the coach's show on Monday when Mark Vandermeer asked him, pick one Thanksgiving food that you would waive and one Thanksgiving food that you would undoubtedly use a high draft pick on. Is this a fireable offense right here?
Okay. So I'm going to put the stuffing on waivers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
My gosh.
I'm sorry. And then gravy casserole would be the favorite.
Oh, my gosh. They hired this man? How? Look at the moribund state of this offense
now
despite
the
great play of Deshaun Watson. How's Deshaun Watson going to take advice from a man who, by the way, I'm guessing doesn't like dressing either? Talk about a gap in geography there, whether it's stuffing or dressing.
Right.
Which they are different. They're not the same thing. I always forget what the difference is. But I maybe Tim Kelly, you know what? He has slimmed down. He looks slimmer this year. Maybe he's cut out the carbs, and that's why. That's why he likes the green bean casserole more.
You think he looks slimmer this year?
I think he looks a little slimmer. Yeah, he used to be a pretty beefy guy.
Have you noticed the irony of the Lions and the Cowboys being the two teams that play on Thanksgiving every year and that their coaches are basically a walking PSA for why you shouldn't gorge at the Thanksgiving Day table?
Oh,
yeah. I just thought about that this morning. I'm like, you know, who are the biggest slobs in the NFL? Definitely Matt Patricia and Mike McCarthy. What?
Body shaming these guys. They're watching film. Well, no, they're not. McCarthy... How much film a week?
You make it sound like all 32 of them are like this. Sean McVay manages to stay in shape. Sean McDermott is a specimen. Anthony Lynn looks like he could whoop ass. I'm not even saying that you've got to, and maybe I am flexing my muscle a little bit because I've dropped a bunch. I was a slob at one point myself, not all that long ago. But, I mean, come on. You know, at least like.
They know they're fat.
Look like you do something. Yeah. We welcome in John Lopez. To the show here. They know they're fat.
When you're fat, you know you're fat.
Yeah. No, I've been there.
Especially when you live in Houston. Man,
I've been
it's
there.
Hard not to. Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so reminded of it. Like, oh, great. I've had this suit on for 3 minutes and it's drenched. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
So, Seth, would you like to make your appeal to John Lopez?
Oh, John. Yes. We were talking about this earlier. How many classes and or credits, whatever, do I have to take at A&M to be able to call myself an Aggie?
Just register.
Really?
as long as you 25%
of the student body.
You don't even you don't even have to darken the door of of a classroom.
How about this? How about I take one night class per week?
You're
and
in.
Then go to a bunch of keggers if they still have keggers.
Former Texas A&M great Seth Payne
Seth
is how
Payne.
I'm going to refer to you from now on. Seth would be a good Aggie.
Some people do think I'm Seth McKinney. Though I'll have long conversations with people about how they went to high school with my brother, and afterwards they'll be like, "I'm not Seth McKinney, by the way."
No, you would be a good Aggie.
But I was talking about Steve. Like, yeah, I know. I'm not Seth. I'm not Steve McKinney's brother.
The other Seth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would welcome him with open arms into the Aggie.
Open
family.
Arms. He's part Aggie right now in terms of just his personality, his background, his smarts, all that good stuff. And lest we forget, and I don't even know if I'm spilling any beans here or not, or if I should, but it is on Instagram. This dude plays hurt.
Who's that?
Yeah. This dude plays hurt.
We've been talking about this. Like throughout all of COVID, we've all broadcast from home, but I'm broadcasting from bed for the first time today.
With his head propped. That's the best part of the image.
And he's got the Zoom camera all the way across the room, so I can't even see his face now. It's like
I thought it was on your stomach.
It's like I'm doing a show with an action figure.
On your stomach like I eat at hotels.
It was at the beginning of the show. I could see him.
You're not a man unless you eat on your stomach in bed, with the plate on your stomach in bed in a hotel room.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. There's another way to do it.
And there's a hack, too. You get the extra towel from the bathroom, you lay it across your stomach, put the plate or the tray on your stomach.
Yeah.
And that way, when everything's done, all the crumbs in it, you just wrap up and put away.
That's not a hack. That's called class. That's what we call that. We call that being classy.
I'm a refined slob.
We call that being classy. How are you today, John?
Man, I am so good. It's not even fair.
Yeah.
It isn't. It's a good week. Texans win and Thanksgiving and dinner, and we got a big shoe ready for you guys. We're actually going to do a little spin on what you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to describe, very, very prominent Texans as a Thanksgiving dish.
What time?
I haven't even really looked.
I'll find out before you leave. I like that one.
That sounds like fun.
Spoiler alert, Eric Murray is cranberries.
Oh, boy. Well, as I just explained, they're not as bad as you expect. They're not good.
It turns out, like we thought they were, they didn't taste good. And turns out he's a cylindrical tube of
Jell-O.
No.
But you don't really need him on your plate.
You know what it is? Look, if you sign cranberry sauce to be cranberry sauce, don't pretend that it's also dressing.
Yes.
And that's what happened with Eric Murray. If you sign a safety, don't pretend he's also a cornerback.
Yeah. And by the way, shout out to Tim Brown for his appearance yesterday. I didn't know he did that on the No Experience Required, the 12th Man documentary. How about that? Tim Brown.
I haven't recorded. I haven't seen it.
He came in.
This is the doc you were in.
Yeah, it came out well. And I was mad respect for your Notre Dame brethren there.
He had his towel stolen by Warren Barnhorst in the Cotton Bowl in 1988.
Yep.
Which made me really hate the Aggies for a long time.
You can't hate the Aggies.
So I got my revenge by having my brother kick the winning field goal 6 years ago.
You've reminded me. I am aware.
John, we look forward to In the Loop today, my friend.
All right, man.
Thanks for jumping in, as always. Seth, I think you're still there.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. I'm beneath the camera.
I'm doing the show with this right now. Look at this. There's a hand.
Let me zoom up as John can see me come slowly up into the screen.
Look at that.
I knew I did all these live reads for this bed 5 years ago for something. I'm using it like a hospital bed like I was supposed to.
Unbelievable. Seth, I'll see you for Texans Countdown tomorrow. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and gig'em to you. Yes, is that how I do it?
Yes, gig'em. And do the thing with your hand that they do. All right, we're done. We'll see all of you tomorrow. Texans and Lions, 11:30 kick, 8:30 Texans Countdown. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We're thankful for all of you for listening. We appreciate you. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you tomorrow for some Texans football. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.